Grace to you and peace from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 29 through verse 40. That's Luke, chapter 12, verses 29 through 40, reading in Jesus' name. "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Amen. It seems as if going through confirmation class for 2 weeks, your teachers, in this case, Pastor Paul and myself, have in some way, in spite of ourselves, but by God's grace, been instructing you that you would be ready, that your life as a Christian would be one of having your loins girt about with truth, and be ready when the goodman of the house would return. It's a humbling thought to try, as I say, with our carnal minds to have you ready for the return of the Savior, but really, that's the life of a Christian, isn't it? As we celebrate at Christmas, we remember his incarnation, his coming into the world, and we remember with sorrow and joy his crucifixion, his resurrection, his return to glory, all for you. As we close the recitation and the commandment in the catechism, that the words "for you" require truly believing hearts. There's some thought as to the words of Jesus here, that who is he really speaking to? Is he speaking to his disciples? It seems that Peter didn't really understand, because right after our text, Peter asks, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all?" And I suppose if we would read into it, we would probably say that it's mostly meant for the disciples, but it's also meant for us. It's also meant for you, confirmation class in 2022 in Hawkinson, Washington. Jesus begins, or we enter into this conversation in verse 29, and he instructs them as well as he instructs us, and we then receive it by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us, to seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. I would probably surmise that there would be some among you, I would include ourselves, I think, that we might have had a little bit of doubting, a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of nervousness for this Sunday. And as I was reminded, the bulletin, the cover of the bulletin says, "Trust in the Lord." Trust in the Lord. Do not seek those things, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things that the nations of the world seek after, the unbelieving world, the pagans, those who do not have Jesus in their heart, they seek after those things. And your Father, he knows that we all have need of these things. But here's the instruction for you, that you would retain this all the days of your life. Rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. We just heard, and I think it was Gabrielle. Was that your part? Yes, I think so. She recited it. I'm going to read it. Thy kingdom come, the second petition. What is meant by this? The kingdom of God comes indeed of itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come also to us. And how is this done? When our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe in his holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. Jesus instructs us, rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. When the Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, and so that by his grace we believe in his holy word and lead godly lives herein in time and hereafter in eternity. All these things, all the blessings of this life will be added unto you. So often it seems as when I've been teaching, as my mind goes back in the 2 weeks of teaching, it seems like so often I have stressed yours as well as my sinfulness. And that's reality. That's the life of a Christian also. Simultaneously sinner and saint. Somebody who spoke Latin much better than me told me how to say that in Latin, and I tried to remember it. I don't remember who that was, but simultaneously sinner and saint. And at times I thought, well, maybe I'm stressing the sin part of our life too much, and I don't know if you can do that. On the contrary, I don't know if I stressed the wonderful message of the gospel enough, and I don't think you can stress it too much. But hear the words of Jesus. Fear not. Fear not. The Bible tells us that perfect love casteth out all fear. That perfect love which God has manifest in the person of Jesus Christ, who has given unto you. Now you therefore love him because he first loved you, and because of that you love your neighbor as yourself. Fear not. Perfect love has cast out this fear. Little flock. The little flock that Jesus was speaking to, probably his disciples, the little flock that I would be speaking to this morning, the 24 students, as well as those who have gathered this morning for this worship service, fear not, little flock. It pleases your Father to give you the kingdom. We might say he is not going out of his way, although he has gone out of his way, in that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. A free gift, the gospel of grace, but yet it came with a great price, the blood of the Savior. So fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then he tells the disciples, he tells you, he tells all of us, some radical teaching. Sell what you have. Sell everything you have. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. Saying don't hide your money in your wallet and look at it and count it every day and have trust in those things. But how would it be if you would lose everything in this life? The Bible tells us that even if we would lose everything in this life, that we wouldn't lose the Savior. He is faithful. Sell that you have and give alms. We spoke about works for the benefit of our neighbor. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You have made vows, you have made promises. And I remember as a young person, just turned 16 years old on the day of my confirmation, as I made those vows, we sat down, and I remember the pastor who was my father reading the words, the only words that I still remember from my confirmation service. And that is, "Dear children, you have been dearly purchased. You are not your own." 16 years old, about ready to get my license, thinking, I'm a pretty big guy now. And the pastor, my dad, tells me, "You are not your own. For your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I pray that these vows, these promises that you have made before God, before this congregation, I trust that they were done heartfelt. And I pray that God, by his grace, continues to lead you all the days of your life. As we heard in the service already, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Let your loins be girded about. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready for the return of the Savior, but also be ready when the trials and the tribulations of this life come. Be ready when somebody you know at school or somebody you know at work would cause you to doubt or question your faith. That you would always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. And you would always be able to speak with grace, seasoned with salt, testifying your faith in Jesus Christ unto a world that is not as receptive as you, 24 young people, have been for the last 2 weeks. Jesus gives a couple parables here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in them. But what they really speak about is being ready. Be yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will visit you in due time. He will answer your prayers. He will give you that which is necessary and best. Wait upon the Lord. Wait again, I say, on the Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. That you would be ready. This is just an indication that the ones who are waiting for the bridegroom to return from the celebration, that they would be ready. They would be there at the door with great expectation to welcome the bridegroom in. And that is how it is for all of us now in the church age, that we would be waiting with great expectation for the return of Jesus as he comes to take us to be with him. Forever will we be with the Lord. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And now picture this. You're in a room, you're in a home, you're waiting for this bridegroom to return so the celebration could begin. The ceremony has been complete. The celebration, the wedding celebration, will begin. And you are found watching and waiting. And then what happens? Verse 37. So beautiful, as again we see the heart of the Savior. As the bridegroom, who is Christ, when he comes in, he shall gird himself. He shall prepare himself for our sake, and he will cause us to sit down to eat forever at the feast of salvation, seated with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed in the feast of salvation. And he will serve us. As Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That he will gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. You remember what we talked about when we talked about the sacraments, the means of grace, how it is God working toward us. All of his means are toward us. It's not something that we do, but it is something that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. As Jesus girds himself, causes us to sit down in peace, in rest, in comfort, without fear, and he feeds us with that which is necessary, giving us even, as you will partake this morning, of the body and blood of Jesus, broken and shed for you for the remission of your sins. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants, because they are watching and they are waiting. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had come what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, just as the goodman of the house, the master of the house, would be ready. Likewise would you be ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I mentioned earlier to a brother and sister that I have been 17 years now. This is my 17th class in Hawkinson in this congregation, teaching confirmation class and partaking of the service. There's 15 of those with Pastor Ron, 2 with Pastor Paul. And I can say, as I have for 17 years, that you're the best class that I've ever had. And really, you think about that, and that's a good thing. That in 2006, I could say that was the best class that I've ever had. And in 2022, I can say the same thing. God has blessed us. And I'm specifically going to say, in this congregation, with the classes that we have been given the responsibility to teach, I've been so thankful for you. As I've been teaching, the days have gone long, I'm sure. As we, I don't want to say drone on, but sometimes, you know, from your perspective, it probably seems like that. And I look out upon you, and there's 48 eyeballs staring at me intently. That's a good thing. You have desired to learn. You've desired to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is for each and every one of you, individually and collectively, as you are living stones in this body of Christ, Jesus himself being the head, that you would continue in faith all the days of your life. That's my prayer for you. I'll see most of you. Sometime, some of you I won't see very often, but fortunately, you smiled really nice for the group picture this morning, so I can look at those photos in my book, and I can remember the classes, remember those who I have been given the responsibility and the honor to teach. I thank you, parents, grandparents, teachers, those who have prepared these students, really, for this day. And all thanks and honor and glory to God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. Merciful God, dear Heavenly Father, thou author and finisher of all good works, we thank thee for thy great love, that thou hast revealed thyself and him whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ, unto these young children, and hast enlightened them by thy holy word and spirit, so that they may have been able to confess before thy congregation thy love and grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. We beseech thee, strengthen and enlighten them continually by thy spirit, that they, protected in the living faith, may daily grow in grace and in the saving knowledge of thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Guide them by thy Spirit, that the old life in them may diminish and the new life in thee may increase. Fill them with thy spiritual gifts, that they may be fit for all that is good and bear the fruits of faith and love to thy honor and glory. Grant that thy peace that passeth all understanding may be theirs. Strengthen them that they may patiently bear life's trials and burdens. Comfort them by thy grace in all dangers and troubles, and uphold them in the hope of eternal life. Help them to continually watch, pray, and be well prepared. Make them steadfast in love and assist them to be victorious in every spiritual conflict, that finally, when their successful journey ends, they may receive the reward of victory, the glorious crown of life. Amen.